Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, wherever you may be in this great land. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, with visions of dancing girls, exotic, all the way east over the rest of us, to the U.S. Virgin Islands in the Caribbean, where volcanoes threaten, south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on ye old internet. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Well, I was going to have a very, very nice young lady on tonight called Teresa Martino. His name is Teresa Martino. And Teresa lived with wolves, but we're probably going to do that tomorrow night or the next night, because at noontime, the Air Force blew everything away. I must admit, I was not expecting what we got today. Now, I don't know how many of you had the luxury of seeing the entire news conference. I did. And then, you know, I taped it and watched it over again. And it was wonderful. It was some of the best comedy I have seen in years. I laughed my way all the way through it. Here with a backdrop of the Pentagon, you know, very serious backdrop. The Pentagon, the seal in the background. Out comes this colonel, John Haynes. Lieutenant Colonel, I believe, John Haynes, Air Force. You can only wonder how this poor slob got picked. I don't know if he was PR or what his real official title is, but I can kind of figure out how the meeting went, where he got picked, and we'll talk about that. The upshot of the entire thing is they have written a book. The Air Force wrote a book. Cost X number of dollars. It's about Roswell, and it is entitled, it has slammed right across it, Case Closed. Case closed. Anyway, the upshot of the entire news conference was that the Air Force had high-altitude balloon research using balloon trains, using high-altitude release of dummies. Dummies. And they are full man-sized dummies, by the way. The problem, of course, with all of this, and they had some pretty neat footage, you know, of these saucer-like things, and, of course, the famous balloons, like the one held up by Major Marcel in his humiliation. The problem with the entire Air Force news conference was that they missed it by 6 years. In other words, the footage they showed us of the testing they did occurred from 6 years to a decade after 1947. Now, this is an impossible hole in their story. But not to be deterred. The colonel simply suggested, well, he said, it's time compression. You know, people forget dates and stuff, he said. It was remarkable. It went on, I would say, for an entire 30 minutes. And then when the reporters got frustrated with asking questions about the Roswell thing, because it obviously had such a big hole in it, you could drive a B-2 bomber through it. They began asking him about, none of this got on the national news, except for the live feed from CNN. Thank God I taped that. Thank you, Richard Hoagland, for alerting me to the fact that it was coming up. I knew they were going to do it at some time during the day, but Richard called my wife before the news conference and said, begin taping, they're about to do it, and she didn't, so we got it on tape. God, it was funny. Anyway, they began asking about Area 51. Colonel Haynes, at that point, was seen to be gulping hard. And he said, well, that's out of my area, and I'm not briefed on that kind of thing. And, yeah, there's classified stuff going on out there, and I can't talk about it. And so then they pounded on him some more on Area 51, this whole room of reporters. And he couldn't and wouldn't answer any questions about Area 51 other than to say, well, you must mean the Groom Lake area. Well, it's classified, and I can't talk about it. The reporter said, well, you know, that's going to make everybody think it's a big cover-up then. And he said, well, I can't talk about it. But again, with respect to Roswell, if they say case closed, that's it. Why, you see, we dropped human-looking dummies from balloons, and that accounts for the bodies. And so now we finally have it all in hand. Only problem is they missed the date by 6 years. 6 years. And I can almost picture the meeting where this poor Colonel John Haynes was picked to go out and talk to the press and present this book they had written called Case Closed, Roswell Case Closed. And you can almost picture this big old general, you know, sitting back behind his desk with big old fat cigar in his mouth saying, well, son, you've been picked for an honorable job. You're going to go out and talk to the press about Roswell. Tell him the story here. Look at this book. But General, wait a minute, General. Look at this. We didn't begin doing this until 1952, 1953, well up into almost 1959, 1960. How am I going to answer that, General? Well, son, haven't you ever heard of time compression? That's right, time compression, son. It's where people don't know what time it is. It all gets compressed up and they forget about dates and stuff. Go out there and talk about time compression. But, General, they're not going to believe me. Just be sincere, son. You got a good career coming up here in the Air Force. Go out there and give them hell, son. Yes, sir. And away he goes. Now, I've got a number of faxes on this thing. From Linda Moulton Howe. I don't know if she intended for this to be read on the air. Hi, Art. What the Air Force has done, besides crying wolf too many times, is to confirm now that there were bodies at the crash site. Were bodies. The government's hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor has swallowed up a lot in the past half century. But one thing about truth, it always seems to float to the top. Eventually. What really gets me is that Philip Corso deserves serious media reporting about material in his book that can be researched and presented straight, but Dateline tonight just did another. If it's Roswell, it must be crazy, including Corso kind of superficial ridicule that mainstream media now trots out like a knee-jerk reaction to almost any UFO-related subject matter. How wonderfully perfect it would be now on the 50th anniversary, the alien intelligence itself decided to commemorate the cycle of time in its own fashion and pull the rug out from under all the arrogant ridiculers. And then she says, found photos. Sending them tomorrow for you to scan. Now, she is referring there to the Miss Idaho photographs. And I'll believe them when they get here, Linda. Or this, and I'm just giving you representative samples of the faxes and email that I got today. Today on Comedy Cover-Up, a scintillating interview with the Roswell Dummies, fresh from their lucrative book tour. Catch the crazy scoops as Sanford and Son, starring Red Fox, admonishes our heroes. Get the hell in there, you dummies. It's a big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you. Tomorrow on Comedy Cover-Up, the JFK conspiracy debunked. It really was an 11-year-old boy with a pea shooter. Of course, it was a pea shooter back-engineered from an extraterrestrial pea shooting device found in the New Mexico desert in the 40s. The 50s. No, wait a minute. It was the 60s, after all. Oh, whatever. That's from Josh in San Francisco. And it goes on. Andy and Van Nuys, dear Art, I just finished watching the Air Force's press conference. and I'm amazed my TV set is still intact. Never, never have I seen a more shameful charade of lies as this. One thing is to expect the Motaris line, but it is completely appalling to see how the press reacted. It was more than clearly evident that the majority of the reporters covering the conference didn't take it seriously. Yeah, he laughed a lot. Not only were they unprepared, they were taking this as a brief detour to their lunch or at the end of their shifts. I've worked for the press in the past, and it makes me ashamed to see the level of professionalism seen in this press conference. It is apparent that the mainstream press is extremely prejudiced to this entire issue, and any legitimate coverage will just be a pipe dream to those seeking real answers to a worldwide enigma, Andy and Van Nuys. And then Art, please tell me you heard the CNN broadcast of the Air Force Colonel introducing the definitive report on the Roswell incident, the balloons, the dummies, the Pentagon. My God, what theater, what obfuscation, what disingenuous drivel from the parrot, who obviously was told what to say and played his part brilliantly. Well, I don't know about that. Brilliantly, I'm not so sure. Jim Mars, who was then given a phone interview by CNN anchor, or the anchor, immediately after the press conference, made the most sense of anyone, including the Pentagon colonel, the idiot, ill-informed reporters at the press conference, the completely lost CNN anchor. That's true. I can hardly wait for tonight's broadcast. Mr. Mars, who was a guest here last week, indeed was then interviewed by CNN, and he did a very, very good job of concluding how underwhelmed he was. And he said the only dummies around are the ones who believe what we were just told. He's exactly right. God, it was awful. I mean, it was high comedy, but it was, in terms of being anything serious, it was absolutely awful. Or this from Arlie in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was amused. Everybody's using that word at the Air Force's press conference, which was more of a dog and pony show than any attempt to reveal any sort of truth. Their report is titled The Roswell Report, Case Closed. That's amusing, considering I thought they closed all the cases back in 1969 with Project Blue Book. Well, I guess they will keep trying to close the case every time the truth threatens to leak out. Seriously, I thought it was an insult. An insult to the Roswell Army veterans to insinuate they couldn't remember the difference between events that occurred in 1947 at Roswell and those dummy drops in 1953. Remember, son, go out there and talk about time compression. Talk about time compression. You heard of that, right? The accompanying cartoon says it all for me. Keep chipping away at the truth, Art. This morning after I got off the air, WTAM, my erstwhile affiliate in Cleveland, covering about, you know, like half the country or something, called me. And their morning show was underway at that point. And they said they did a little interview with me about, the coming news conference on Roswell. And the host, Jeff Kinsmach, said, we're about to have a daily televote. That's what they call it there, a televote, on the subject of alien life forms, and we wanted to share with you our results. And I said, well, you know, they were just beginning to take it at that point. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you anything it comes in excess of 70% yes. So they sent me the results, and sure enough, here it is, 79%, not 70, but 79% say yes, they believe in the existence of alien life forms. 21% do not. And they thank me for being a guest on the program. So, what are we to conclude here? About 8 out of 10, WTAM survey, Or the USA Today survey, CNN, USA Today, 8 out of 10, believe there are alien life forms and that the Air Force and or military is lying its ass off. And that image was strengthened by this incredible, unbelievable news conference today. I mean, it's really a shame that the networks that night did not cover more of that 30 minutes. It's a classic 30 minutes. Anybody who had a chance to get it on tape, I hope you got it on tape. I did. I'm thankful I immediately yanked the tab and labeled the VHS tape, and I shall keep it forever whenever I need a good laugh. That poor, poor colonel. Well, as you may know, I have won an award, and I'm up for another one. Isn't that amazing? I went to the National Association of Talk Show Hosts and Talkers magazine conference in Los Angeles and won the Best Male Talk Show Host for 1997 award. It's up on my website if you want to see it. Dear Art, here are the top 10 reasons that you have won the Best Male Talk Show Host for 1997. 10. The Masons picked you. 9. At 52, they weren't sure if you'd be around in 98. 8. Susan Lucci was the only other nomination. 7. A lesser-known talk show host, or even most of them, spend so much time broadsiding you that you've got to be doing something right. 6. A 5-hour talk show with no politics, 14 million listeners, that's our guy. 5. Location, location, location. 4. Anyone who says he would sit in a lawn chair in his front yard and do a play-by-play account of a comet that ends the world while sipping iced tea has got to be dedicated to radio. That's true. They've read your book and figured now or never. Reason number 2, Chancellor Broadcasting liked their magazine so much they bought the company. And the number 1 reason Art Bell won the award for Best Male Talk Show Radio Host, he's the most hyper-dimensional guy we know. Jeff in Tri-Cities, Oregon. I really wish I could have permission to replay the whole CNN news conference. In fact, if somebody from CNN is out there and wants to give me permission, I'll put it on. I'll do that. I'll replay it. Yeah, I'm telling you, you would love it. The only thing you would miss on the radio is the expression on the colonel's face. It was priceless. This one I will remember forever. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
I've got a black magic woman.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
Ah, good morning, everybody. It was really something. Maybe a lot of you did get to see it because you're up here at night. It means you're free during the day. They ran it at noontime. It was the news conference to end all news conferences. And frankly, I feel sorry for that colonel. Very sorry. Anyway, we'll get back to all of that in a moment.
Now we take you back to the night of June 24th, 1997. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
More earthquakes in Washington State. Art, we had two more earthquakes here in Washington today, both registering 4.6. One of them was from a previously unknown fault line. We're hoping that doesn't activate the volcanoes in the area. I agree, Gary. Hope not, too. Again, referring to the press conference, Gary in Como Country says, Art, apparently those dummies are now running the Air Force. And then this one, Art, I'm not an expert on Roswell, but from what I've read, I just don't recall anyone mentioning ETs with parachutes. That's Don in San Leandro Country. And then this, Colonel Philip Corso, interviewed Tuesday at 10 o'clock Eastern by Dateline. Interview was at least respectful. And by the way, I'm working on an interview with Colonel Corso. It should come because he had an exclusive and couldn't do anything else until the Dateline story aired. So I will try and talk soon with Colonel Corso. And I'm also going to be interviewing the author of The Day After Roswell. He requests that here. That's a scheduled dreamland coming up. A gentleman is presently in Germany, called me from Germany the other day. And remember our experiment the other night to call down UFOs? Well, there were major reports of UFOs, triangular UFOs, over the skies of Nevada, today, last night. Now, how about that, folks? Major sightings, and you know what? I missed it. I didn't see a thing. I had to get this from the national press. As a matter of fact, they were talking about it during the news conference. So, I missed it. Then I've got somebody here who saw the same Memorial Day UFO that we did, and I'll read something about that. I've got a whole lot of stuff here, really. Oh, by the way, the newspaper in Arizona has apologized somewhere. Yeah, here it is. The Arizona Republic has apologized for publishing an editorial cartoon that used the image of a rescuer cradling a child killed in the Oklahoma bombing to criticize capital punishment. Drew complaints from a national organization of firefighters and the mother of the child featured in the photo. Benson's cartoon. Benson is not apologizing, but his newspaper is apologizing for him. How about that? That's from Jackie in Albuquerque. So, as I was telling you, I could have had a guest tonight, but I thought under the circumstances you would want to talk about the news conference. It's going to be some time before I get over that. So we're going to have open lines. Open lines. And you know, by the way, what was on the front page of my newspaper today? A big picture of a train crash in Texas. A major transportation accident, exactly as forecast by my time traveler. And I'd like to hear from my time traveler. You know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to get permission to rebroadcast that CNN news conference. I swear I would. All 30 minutes of it. even on radio, it'd be great. Now, I know probably CNN is listening in down in Atlanta. I wonder if they would let me rebroadcast that. I know I've got some friends at CNN. So if they can get a fax to me tonight letting me rebroadcast that, I will do it somehow. I don't know how I've got it on videotape. And if not, why, I'll call them tomorrow and try to get permission to rebroadcast that, I think. It is the wildest thing that I've seen in years and years and years. Time compression. Yes, sirree, sir. But, General, how do I explain the 6 years?
Have you ever heard time compression, son? People forget about these things, dates and times.
But 6 years, Jim.
Time compression, son.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
This is David in Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was just thinking, who's the guy that you had on who does the speech reversals?
David Oates. Yes.
You got to hit him with.
What a perfect project for David Oates.
Oh, that would be great to hear that back.
You didn't happen to get to see the news conference?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. I've been tied up all day, and I haven't even had a chance to turn the TV on. But
well, you missed a gem.
That's
this
what it sounds
poor
like.
Poor Colonel. It was incredible.
No. But I that's the first thing that came to my mind. I wonder what would happen if that got played backwards.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, it might be something to consider. Can you think you can get him on again anytime soon?
David Oates?
Yeah.
Well, I will set him to researching this entire news conference. Poor Colonel, his new knees, he even said it on the air. He said, my knees are shaking.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you were in the Air Force yourself, weren't you?
I was, yes.
I was. That's what I thought, and I was laughing out loud earlier when I heard you doing the voice and everything. I said, my God, for an ex, you know, Air Force guy, this is... That must have really been something.
Well, I know how it goes. You know, I just know how it goes. It's the way the Air Force is, you know?
Yeah, well, if you can get permission from CNN, that would be great, because I miss it, and I would really love to hear it.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do. I don't know whether they generally give permission for that sort of thing or not, but, I mean, it was covered by the mass media, and I would like permission to rebroadcast CNN's coverage of it. God, it was great. I mean, it's like you guys really deserve to hear it. In its entirety, I can only wish that I could actually show it to you. I wonder if CNN has any plans to rebroadcast that. Sometimes they do that late at night. I haven't heard about it. But this was a classic. It was an absolute classic. It's like this poor colonel was sent out there to do this absolutely impossible job. Impossible. And I can only imagine how he felt walking out there, knowing what he was about to have to say, knowing the questions that were going to come, and even the press, which no doubt was anxious to believe every word they were saying, couldn't swallow it whole at all. I don't know, it was really something. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, I can't believe I got through on the first try. This is Robin from Nebraska. How are you?
I'm fine.
I am sorry to say I did not see that tonight.
Well, most people would not if it was on at noontime.
Oh, I see. I was at work today. But I probably would have parroted what everybody else was faxing in to you, how amusing it was. But I was watching tonight the movie Michael. Have you seen that movie Michael?
No.
With John Travolta? Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought you'd like to know they do play It's a Wonderful World, you know, by Louis Armstrong, the Willie Nelson version of
really?
That in that movie, which, it's wonderful. Yeah, and it's a really good movie. But, this is off the subject, but I just thought you might like to know that.
All right, Robin.
Yeah, it was good to talk to you.
Thank you. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. It's Raymond from Michigan.
Yes. Hi, Raymond.
How are you?
Fine.
You know, the shame of it is this fiasco today came out a day late to be included on that list of all-time great sitcoms they just put out.
You're right.
You know, I think it would, if it wasn't so infuriating, it would be hilarious. Because, you know, it's always a new reason or a new excuse. Now, where was this explanation of bodies in that report in 1994?
Missing.
Yeah.
Missing
and
entirely. And what he said is, well, when we were researching the 1994 report, we just then began to get these photographs, and that drove us to this final report. We weren't ready to publish photographs in 94. You certainly would imagine they would have mentioned it. Plus, you know, the dummies came down in parachutes.
I didn't see. I saw excerpts of it.
I see. You really had to see the whole thing because the networks, of course, without mercy, chopped it all up.
Well, Art, the shame of it is if somebody picks up a newspaper, sees this report without knowing their full history of it, they're going to say, well, that explains it.
And I know.
You know, and they're going to accept it, and that'll be the end of it, and that's what they're hoping.
I know. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't work.
No, it certainly doesn't, Art.
I mean, not even close. Not even for the ready-to-accept-and-dispense press.
You're absolutely right.
Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. I mean, they were ready. Yes, sirree, sir. The press was ready to jump on this with all of their forefeet. We're going to take it. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the Roswell explanation. But even the press couldn't do it. The missing 6 years. 6 years? Come on, folks. The documentation regarding Roswell is extensive for 1947. No time compression here. Not the 1950s, and as late as nearly 1960. Oh, come on now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I just did that. You know, when they expect us to believe that Doug and Davy, the crop circles,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason we would not believe that Vince and Larry was responsible for the Roswell incident.
Vince and Larry, the crash dummies.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, as somebody in fact said, the only dummies around here are the Air Force.
Oh, I know. When we did our GE2, as I call it, Grand Experiment Number 2.
Yes.
2 weeks from that is the 4th of July weekend, right?
Correct.
Okay, have a great evening, Art.
All right, you too. But, I mean, last night there were sightings of large triangular craft here in Nevada. Here in Nevada, and I missed it. Probably happened when I was on the air. Oh, well, you can't catch them all. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Okay, where are you?
I'm California.
Okay, you're going to have to get into that phone and yell at us like you mean
it. We're calling from California.
That's better.
And, hey, you missed it. It said case closed.
Yeah, I know. I didn't miss it.
And what the worst part about the whole thing was the way the governor handled that Francis situation.
Francis Barwood and
company? I mean, it made me sick. I mean, that was so undistinguished. This man should not be a governor. I mean, who got to him?
Well, it's a reasonable question. After all, he called a news conference, said he was going to seriously investigate Phoenix sightings. And then came out of court and said it was all a joke. Totally uncharacteristic of Governor Symington.
Are you familiar with William Cooper's work, Behold a Pale Horse?
Yes.
You know, he claims that they are trying to get us ready to accept the fact that there are aliens.
Well, I have a lot of problems with Bill Cooper.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
You wouldn't recommend him? I was hoping you'd have him on your program someday.
No, he called up and threatened to sue me.
Oh, that's unusual.
I thought so, too.
Uh-huh. What do you think is going on?
I don't know. Going on with what?
As far as this, now you see it, now you don't, and now they reported that some unidentified flying objects were seen over Las Vegas this last week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So are they tempting people to come into this whole
thing? Well, here, all right. Here, let me make a serious remark about the news conference, all right? It was actually so bad, that it is my view that they are actually trying to destroy their own credibility. Now, why would they do that? I don't know. But what other possible conclusion can you come to? Those of you who fortunately got to see the news conference are going to be few because it was at noontime. Unless you had a VCR set or something. seeing the coverage of the networks was insufficient. You had to see the whole thing. And it was so bad that one can only conclude it was intentionally bad, and there was an agenda, a reason that they made it that bad. I just wonder what this poor colonel did to deserve being the guy who got had to go out there. As a matter of fact, one of the reporters even commented on that at the beginning and said, Colonel, whatever your name is, you are going to go now down now in UFO lore, along with a lot of other people, as being part of the cover-up. And he sort of just shrugged his shoulders as though, yeah, I know. They sent me out here. I had to do it. It was Colonel John Haynes. Now, I would like to interview Colonel Haynes. I figured I shouldn't interview anybody tonight, and I should leave the lines open because all of you really would want to comment on this. I would love to interview Colonel Haynes. He'd be fun to interview. I doubt he would say anything, but he'd be fun to interview. Corso would be fun to interview. He is well now into his 80s. He's in his 80s, and I would like to interview him. He was on Dateline. He'd get a better interview here than he got from Dateline, of course. And I expect that'll be coming up shortly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes. You know, I thought the interview at, thing that they did with Colonel Haynes, I noticed he mentioned about the body bags they put the dummies in.
That's right.
Yeah. I was wondering, why would they need body bags for dummies?
Well, what he said was so that they would remain in their original dilapidated condition.
Yeah, I remember that.
Nothing would affect them, wouldn't want to throw them back in the truck or something. And he said, I can understand how people would believe ambulances all over the place, guys in helmets, people crawling and looking for parts of kites and all the rest of it. But the big problem was that was in 1953, beginning in 53 through 59. I mean, now that's nowhere near 1947. Nowhere near it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, how'd you like to be given that job? I mean, go out and talk to the national press and show them all this stuff that accounts for Roswell, case closed, but misses the target by 6 years.
Yeah, that was just plain out ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your call, sir. Plain out ridiculous. So much so that you've got to wonder about an agenda. Now, about 10 minutes before airtime, I got a call from Richard Hoagland. Actually, Richard and I talked earlier in the day as well. But Richard tells me, and he does not yet know what it means, but with regard to the Pathfinder mission, they have delayed a burn by one day. Some sort of a burn. And now, what will that mean in terms of when Pathfinder arrives? We don't yet know. Is a valve going to get stuck open? We don't know. But it is getting very interesting, isn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello there.
Oh, yeah, good morning. This is Paul. I'm calling from Jupiter.
Jupiter what?
Jupiter, Florida.
Jupiter, Florida, okay.
I'm sorry.
The way it goes on my program, you could have meant the planet, so.
Yeah. Now, I have to apologize. I'm not getting a show because I can't hear it till it starts. They hold it an hour back now, you know?
Well, hopefully they'll begin to carry the first hour.
Okay, yeah. I'm hoping that you're talking about what the, you know, what went on with the officer said today, the naval officer, the commanding officer.
No, he was Air Force. You mean Colonel Haynes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the whole news conference. What a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. Is that what you're talking about? I don't want to ruin the show or the theme of the show.
No, ruining the show. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I am ruining the show.
Yes, you're ruining the show.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Art.
No, you're not ruining the show. That is what we're talking about. Can't you hear me?
Okay. All right. Now, what I wanted to say, when I saw, did you watch Dateline?
Colonel Corso.
Yeah, okay. Now, they showed that the night that these things, they say they're supposedly balloons, right? Now, when they said it was caught, they said it was very stormy that night. It was lightning like crazy. Now, I remember Ben Franklin days when he put that kite up. People were getting electrocuted. Now, these balloons are 100, 150 feet before they even leave the ground
right.
with lightning striking, right? Now, I don't know if the Army would do something that stupid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why would they send balloons up in such weather?
Well, number one, sir, it was the Air Force, not the Army.
Well, the Air Force. I'm just excited, you know what I'm saying, that I even got through. I've been calling for months and months, you know.
Well, you know, why they would do the whole thing, thank you, that was so dumb, I can't possibly answer it for you. But I can tell you that that it was one of the funniest things I ever saw. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997. Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 24th, 1997.
What do you think we're talking about? We're talking about the Air Force's news conference. Poor Colonel Haynes sent out to do the impossible mission. And Roswell in general, as you might imagine, I had a guest scheduled, but it would have been a disservice to have her on when so many of you out there would want to talk about the weirdness of the day, and man, it was weird. Anybody out there see the news conference? Yo, in Atlanta. Anybody listening at CNN, I want permission to replay the entire news conference on the air. I think the audience has a right to hear it. It occurred midday, and I think either CNN should reschedule that news conference for tonight. As a matter of fact, you know what? I should monitor CNN. Just in case they do exactly that, and it is possible that they will. So I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to monitor CNN. See what it is that they're doing. Maybe they will choose to replay it. Anyway, coming up in a moment, it's going to be mainly open lines, but I've got Richard Hoagland on the line. He saw the news conference. He's got some news on Pathfinder. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on down there in Phoenix. So we'll get an update in a moment. Here, for one of the very last times, I suspect, from near New York City is Richard C. Hoagland. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, happy anniversary.
It's
so nice to see that the federal government has a sense of humor. You know, I was really kind of getting depressed and thinking that maybe everybody was a stuffed shirt and uptight, but
yeah.
Today has restored my faith in the humanity of the Pentagon.
It was amazing.
It was wondrous. And if it weren't so funny, it would be tragic.
Yeah.
Because to sit and see some of my former colleagues guffawing and yucking it up and treating this whole thing like an incredible joke when underneath there's an extremely serious set of questions here.
Of course.
Is pretty appalling. And I was very intrigued with your comment made a few minutes ago when you were serious yourself as to a potential agenda. I think you have hit it right on the head. I think today's hijinks were so outrageous and so over the top that they were designed to make any serious American stop and think and realize, of course there's a cover-up.
Sure.
Not even the government can be this stupid and idiotic and insane as to think that we're going to buy this one. So if that's the agenda, if we're supposed to think they're covering up without the mea culpa, without the we give up,
yes,
we did it, then why now, on the anniversary of Roswell coming up at Warp 9,
mm-hmm.
does the Pentagon do, in essence, its own mea culpa in its own weird way? Answer, we're supposed to get it that Roswell was real. And it doesn't really matter in terms of what's coming up, this is my analysis now, as to whether we like them or respect them or care a damn bit about what they look like in their blue suits. The fact is that when the proverbial you-know-what hits the proverbial spinning rotary implement, we're going to run to them to save us. And that may be part of this agenda, because, you see, if Phoenix means something, if whatever happened in March, in fact, is part of someone's plan, then this is preparation. This is an exquisite psyops team effort. On the one hand, you have, Mr. Fauntleroy there in his blues this afternoon, who I would not have traded all the tea in China to have been in his shoes. You couldn't have paid me enough to stand up there and look like a fool in front of the press. And in fact, when he made the comment, Art, about his knees were shaking,
yeah,
I think it was a wink between the lines. I think he was telling all those folks, and they got it, that this whole thing is a charade. Because why would he be nervous? There's nothing to be nervous about.
Well, of course there is. To go out and try to tell a pack like that this story about time compression, that was my favorite, time compression. That talk about time compression. And how in the world...
Who was that general in No Time for Sergeants? That your mythical general sounds like one of those guys.
Yeah.
But the other side of this is that if we are being conditioned, if we are being prepared for events to come, I'm not talking about real ET events. I'm talking about something that somebody in the black ops section is planning. Then what we're seeing on the one hand with this absurdity fits, and then on the other hand we have Philip Corso.
Okay, you're saying it was so absurd, basically, that we are intended then to, of course, believe that it is real. Their psyops intention is for us to believe that it was real.
Precisely.
Yeah, okay.
Because, remember, government doesn't care what you think about them as long as they control your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a matter of respect or credibility. It's a matter of discredibility. And that's the weird reverse logic of this almost surreal situation. They've now gone so far down the road of cover-up through so many witnesses and so much evidence on the table. It's like that, canard from my late friend Carl Sagan, where he used to talk about extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence.
Yes,
well,
sir.
The problem with that is that the you can always move the goalposts. The opposition can always say, oh, sir and sir, the evidence is not extraordinary enough. When I watched Hockenberry interviewing Corso, I mean, here is a man with an impeccable military career.
Oh, yes.
Who controlled a division of nuclear weapons in Germany, was on the general command staff, access to the White House, above top secret clearance. This is not a fool. Yet John Hockenberry, who was a serious journalist, was treating this man like he was a total idiot and a flake. And he's telling him very serious things. Now, two questions that a serious journalist should have asked. One is, why is this man telling me this? And if it's not the truth, then why is he telling me a lie so outrageous that he wants me to believe it's the truth or part of the truth?
Well, I need to interview Colonel Corso to hear what he really has to say.
Do you know when that is going to take place?
I don't. I know that Dateline had an exclusive and the Colonel couldn't talk until the Dateline piece aired. I've got several lines of contact to the Colonel now, so it'll happen soon.
Because in the interview on Dateline, he made some statements that were so interesting in their substance. And I don't want to prejudice the, you know, the audience and your interview and all that, so I'm going to hold my comments based on what I know you can do if you get him in the chair for an hour or two.
Exactly.
But I think that there's something remarkably interesting about Corso's whole story. Now, what you need to do is you need to stand back and put on the left hand this charade today. And on the right hand, Corso's statement, complete with forward by Strom Thurmond.
Yes.
And ask yourself, what is the overall gestalt? The gestalt is the buffoons are making such an idiot of themselves that any reasonable person has to say, wait a minute, there actually is some smoke here. They're actually being so absurd because they are covering up something. So the bottom line is that we tend to believe more tonight that Roswell, in fact, did occur than we did not, even though they have not admitted anything.
I agree. All right, let's turn to Phoenix. There's a whole bunch of luminaries in Phoenix right now, aren't there? Who's in Phoenix?
You know, it reads almost like a who's who.
Yeah, who?
We have had in the last 2 weeks documented sightings of Colin Powell
five times.
General Schwarzkopf. Four or five times. George Bush, former president of the United States, head of the CIA, three or four times.
Hmm.
Dan Quayle, at least five times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked with Frances Barwood this afternoon, and that's the level of our source, she said, well, do you know who else is in town and has been here for 2 days? And I said, no. She said, Hillary. I said, Hillary who?
Hillary Clinton?
Hillary. Oh, that Hillary. The First Lady of the United States is in Phoenix tonight.
Well, what's she doing in Phoenix?
This is a good question. A lot of attention is being paid to Phoenix. And as you know, I think Phoenix is very centrally involved in the NASA, Sedonia, et cetera, story. We are in the process of deep negotiations. There's a possibility rising to the level of a possibility, that we're going to bring an enterprise seminar to downtown Phoenix sometime in early or mid-July to lay out research that we're conducting into the genesis, the origin of Phoenix, the founding of the city of Phoenix, and some potential reasons for why there is this apparent intense interest by a lot of very high-level people in this little town in the American Southwest.
Well, I don't know about little. It's 2 million in the area, at least.
Well, it's the seventh largest, by the way, in the United States.
Well, so there you are.
But it's not L.A., it's not New York, and I'm speaking from New York.
No, but it's not Pahrump either.
No, that's true.
Now, Phoenix has something very special about it. Going way back when, Phoenix is a sort of federal area, isn't it?
We have discovered the definition of this patent. Remember I just spoke the other night about the patent of application?
I do, yes.
That Lord Dupa, Daryl Dupa, who was the British aristocrat who helped found and name Phoenix, got from then President of the United States, Ulysses S. Grant.
Yes.
Well, we have been given access through a member of Grant's family who called in, per my request on your show, to documents and papers and letters and other things. And it's becoming really interesting, extraordinarily interesting, in terms of the conditions around this grant from the president by executive order of a patent. A patent turns out to be the ultimate of land titles. It supersedes a normal color of title or a quit claim or a deed of ownership. A patent is the highest a testimony in law, it turns out, to ownership of land that can exist anywhere in the world. It is the equivalent of a contract between sovereigns, meaning lords, kings, queens, presidents, whatever. And what it's beginning to look like, and we're doing our homework, and I don't want to be, you know, preemptive here, but it looks like that Ulysses Grant, in essence, conferred upon Phoenix the equivalency of a country within the United States of America, something equivalent to the District of Columbia, which, of course, was and is the nation's capital.
Yes.
120 years ago.
Why?
We don't know. But by the time we may do this thing in Phoenix, which, again, is under intense discussion now, and in the next day or two we'll have a final resolution, we will get those answers, and we're going to hopefully be able to lay them out for your audience and for the people of Phoenix. And by that time, maybe whatever is agonizingly ticking away with Mars Pathfinder will have matriculated to the next level, and we'll all know more.
All right. Pathfinder, want to cover that before we go here. You called me up and said there was something about a delay in a burn, a one-day delay or something they were going to do?
They are slightly off course, and we announced this when we did the show last week. We said that there was going to be a burn, an adjustment, you know, with the onboard rockets of a few, you know, feet per second to trim up the course on June 24th. That was the plan all along.
Right.
For reasons that are not yet clear, they have delayed that by 24 hours. Now, that's a change. It isn't the radical change we were discussing, but it's a change. Now, from here, two things can happen. One is communication sometime between tonight and tomorrow morning at 8:30 Pacific Standard or Pacific Daylight Time will be lost per our original scenario.
Yes.
Or the burn will go off as scheduled at about 10 o'clock, which would be what? 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time is when the burn is supposed to take place.
In the morning?
In the morning Pacific Time.
Okay.
And something will happen.
You know, it'll burn and burn and burn.
A valve. You know, you put it very appropriately.
Valve,
a valve could get stuck.
Yeah.
So if it's not nominal, meaning it's not normal, and it burns for, let's say, 10 seconds instead of a tenth of a second, they'll be in deep trouble. And there'll be a sudden agonizing reappraisal and lots of tracking and lots of calculations, and they will have to defer the July 4th landing date. So whatever happens tomorrow, it's a go, no go on the scenario we outlined a few days ago on your show. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And I feel like a guy in the waiting room waiting to have my first baby with a cigar that I can't light yet.
Well, that's what happens when you have your neck out. It's kind of like being the colonel. I had to go out yesterday, talk to everybody.
But my knees are not shaking.
Well, all right, Richard. I wish you well. We will be talking to you, of course, in the next few days, and I certainly appreciate the update.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you. Good night, Richard. That's Richard C. Hoagland, folks, in New York, and he's not going to be there very much longer. He'll be moving to the great American Southwest, joining us out here. Here's yet another comment, folks, on the press conference yesterday. Art, it might be that the saucer in Roswell hit a government balloon and the dummy stuck to the airfoil, causing the saucer to crash. It's from John in Cape May, New Jersey. Let's go over that again. It might be that the saucer in Roswell hit a government balloon and the dummy stuck to the airfoil, causing the saucer to crash. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
John in Foley, Minnesota.
Hello, John.
I've got a something I'd like for you to relay to Richard Hoagland.
Well, he's listening, so go ahead.
About three questions. Number one, he said that there were only two places in the United States that had references to Egypt in their name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about Cairo, Illinois, besides Memphis, Tennessee?
Well,
and that area is in southern Illinois was also
he mentioned actually
Little Egypt.
Actually, he mentioned Memphis.
Yes, he mentioned Memphis, but Cairo, Illinois.
Well, I'm not sure that everything that shares a common name, like Cairo, is necessarily got an actual connection.
No.
So, anyway, next.
Second question. Do the Masons run any colleges or universities?
All of them.
I'm sure they don't run...
No, all of them.
No, I mean, I'm sure they don't run the Catholic universities.
Oh, no, they run those two. Next question.
But I was going to say, how strong... would you say the lodges are at West Point and Annapolis?
Strong. Next question? Or
okay.
Is that it?
Well, that's just about it.
That's it. All right. Well, you know that I cannot comment on things Masonic. On things Masonic, think of me as Colonel Haynes. Mm-hmm. All right? Being asked about Area 51. Doesn't exist. Don't know anything about it. It's classified. K can't talk about. Got to refer you to the PR people. They'll tell you about Area 51. That was funny. When they couldn't get anything out of him on Roswell, they turned to Area 51, and he wouldn't say a word. All right, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
I've got kind of a big piece of information for you. If you're in the New York City area, I wasn't going to say anything about this, but what the hell. Last Saturday night, WABC in New York ran a five-hour program of ours. And they're going to do it again this Saturday night. Saturday night, Sunday morning, WABC New York. Remember WABC? I sure do from my younger days. No matter where you were in the Northeast, you couldn't miss WABC. Remember them? 77 WABC. I can't do that, but that was their old logo. The sister station, of course, to our affiliate in Los Angeles, KABC. Anyway, we were on WABC last Saturday night. I've been holding on to this information. We're going to be on again this Saturday night. So if you're in the New York City area, check our act out at midnight. WABC, New York. We'll get back to this discussion of the Air Force News Conference, which was most incredible. And whatever else you want to talk about, it's going to be open lines all night long. I did have a guest scheduled. Richard was here for about a half hour just updating us on a few things. We'll be doing another show with him soon. It's going to be open lines. I mean, whatever you want to talk about is fair game, and I suspect a lot of you want to comment on the news conference. Listen, there is a way for you with computers, of course, to see it. My understanding is, let's see, Charles, listening in Anchorage, says, Art, good show. CNN has a streaming video of the conference on its website. It's 21 minutes, 30 seconds long. It requires a plug-in for your browser to see. This is new stuff, you know, streaming video. Could this be a distraction from the Mars Pathfinder problems? Anyway, you can, I've got an address here where you can see the streaming video of this news conference. And I, again, seek the permission of CNN, if you're listening out there in Atlanta, to rerun in its entirety the audio portion of the news conference that CNN broadcast. I will seek their official permission to do that tomorrow. They probably won't give it to me. But I would really, I mean, the audience, if you're listening there at CNN, my audience, the audience really ought to have a chance to see it. Now, I am monitoring CNN right now, and there's always a chance, you know, they'll run it late or something, but it was hilarious. That's the only word for it, hilarious. And if you weren't laughing, you'd be crying. Anyway, we'll get back to your calls here in a second.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
Here's yet another one from Ron. Ron says, I only had a chance to catch a small part of the press conference, but what I did catch blew me away. In particular, I heard a high-ranking Air Force officer, that would be our colonel, trying to explain how people became confused about the facts. What he did, however, is instead reveal the truth. He did this through a complete accident. I heard him trying to explain their conclusions, but in doing so, he said, and I quote, if you take that and spin it, he's right, he did say that. If you take all that, you know, the balloon trains and the dummies they talked about, and you take that and you spin it, why, it explains everything. No doubt a Freudian slip that revealed his true mission and objectives. Personally, I do not believe for certain it was a UFO crash with dead or alive aliens, but after witnessing the circus-like atmosphere of the Air Force news conference effort, I'm left with no choice but to believe there is a wholesale cover-up in progress. What I don't understand is why. Why bother? Why now? Why risk it? Does the Air Force really believe they have any real measure of credibility with the American people? If they did have any, as of yesterday, what they did today created some serious damage to their credibility. All the best, Ron, and he gives his last name as well. And then this, Art, please tell the story of the guy on the plane with a gun. Congratulations on the award, 73s, must be a ham, aloha, must be in Hawaii. Well, I really didn't get to tell that story, did I? We went to the big conference in Los Angeles, the conference of NARTASH, National Association of Radio Talk Show Hosts, and Talkers Magazine, and we had to go to L.A., so we flew. It's a one-hour flight. You know, you get up, they give you a quick beverage, and by the time you're about halfway through it, you're descending. Very fast flight from McCarran down to LAX. Anyway, on the way home, about 8 o'clock or so at night, a little before 8, we went to gate number 1, which is generally the gate to fly back to Las Vegas from L.A. And here comes a couple of cops, and they go running in, you know, past the gate into where the airplane is that we're about to get on. Pretty soon, here come 3 more cops. I mean, just at a flat run. By the time it was over, there were 11 cops on that airplane. Well, time passes. We all wonder what's going on. Here comes this guy, bound in handcuffs, being escorted off the airplane. And a stewardess told us that it was a guy with a gun. Now, my understanding is that the guy with the gun actually, have you ever seen those cigarette lighters? They look exactly like guns, except when you pull the trigger, they light a cigarette, right? Well, he must have had one of those in a suitcase or something. And they scanned it, and they found it, but they didn't stop him there. Somehow he got on the aircraft. So everybody freaked out, including me, because I thought, great, we were about to get on an airplane that was probably about to be hijacked. So we got off the ground a little late, needless to say. And it was kind of an interesting experience, and that is the story. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Hello. Going once, going twice. Are you there?
Yeah. My dad is here. My dad's right here.
He wanted to hold the line, and he got to.
I see.
This is John in Petaluma.
How you doing?
That was Chris, by the way.
I see.
Chris
seemed very surprised to be suddenly on the air.
He was. We were listening to the story about the airport.
Yes.
First of all, congratulations on that award.
Yeah,
I listen to you a lot. I'm a security guard, so I'm up at night. So when I'm walking around, I got the Walkman on listening to you all night.
Helps pass the time. But you know what I always wondered? If you're a security guard and you've got a Walkman on, you're listening to my talk show,
mm-hmm.
and some guy's sneaking up on you, you're dead meat.
Oh, well. It'd be worth it.
All right.
I sent you some email. I'm not sure if you got it because I tried like four times on the weekend that you were gone, and it kept saying that your
mailbox
was full.
Yeah, I know.
But it was a friend of mine up at the up here at the Sonoma County Airport, it's a air museum, nonprofit air museum.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the members had the honor of being at the Pearl Harbor anniversary.
Oh, yes.
And he got to take his seaplane on the Carl Vinson aircraft carrier
mm-hmm.
over to Pearl, and then they took off from the carrier, him and along with some other military planes, and landed there, and then they brought him back. And on the way over there, you advertised Magellan.
That's right.
And that's why I wanted to tell you this, because the skipper was showing him all over the ship. First thing he showed him was the computer that shows where they are, you know, and it
sure.
pinpoints it, everything else, and then the next one down and back up, and then the next one down, he says, if those two, if we really want to know what's going on, we go to this screen, and he turns it on, and it's CNN. and then the navigator was, you know, explaining, you know, that three of them go out, weather permitting, and get star fixes each night like they used to with the sextant and everything.
Yeah.
And they're explaining everything about how they navigate. He says, but actually, how we really know where we are? And he opens a drawer, and in the drawer is a Magellan.
Well, of course, that's correct. I mean, there really is nothing that is going to be at sea or in the air, wherever you happen to be. The Magellan is going to tell you exactly where you
are. That's right. And I just thought it was so neat. Here we are, top of the line aircraft carrier of the United States, and we got a Magellan in the drawer so they know where they are.
Yeah, well, it's good backup. You use all your training and you use everything they've taught you to determine position, but just to be sure, you pull out the Magellan, it tells you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking a calculator to school, you know?
That's right. Have a good night, sir.
Yep, thank you very much. That's right. Magellan is so neat. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art, you know, after Richard was on the program, by the way, this is Vince from Chicago.
Yes, Vince.
After Richard was on the program Monday and talking about Phoenix and some of the wild rumors that are going around.
Oh, yes,
Phoenix,
yes.
I was searching the shortwave radio, you know, seeing if I could hear anything on that related subject, and I heard quite a few unbelievable things. Middle East terrorists might be planning to release anthrax.
Well, that one's been around for a while now.
Okay, yeah, and also I heard Stan Deo's name mentioned in some context of some sort of events. I don't know if you've been in contact with Stan Deo from Australia recently.
I had Stan on the show about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how they mentioned him in the conversation. You know, another thing I'd like to
Stan has been dead on. I mean, he referred to these incredible images of heating in the Pacific, and within 3 days the newspapers began breaking stories about this incredible El Nino growing in the Pacific. So
right.
Stan hit it dead on.
Right, I heard that program. You know, another thing, you know, this is really getting weird, this whole Egypt thing with the pyramids and the tetrahedrons and all that.
You actually have no idea how weird it really is, and I can't say.
You know, Art, it's so weird. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. I just had something fly by my desk here from George Gilder. I don't know if you ever heard of that guy, George Gilder.
Never heard of him.
He's a real big technology expert, and he's predicting that a privately held company by the name of Tut Systems, Tut, T-U-T, like King Tut.
Yeah, yeah.
He's predicting that this company is going to be like one of the big, big winners in this internet bandwidth race. You know, the on the internet, the big logjam is the bandwidth, all the spectrums of communication.
That's correct, of course.
And he's predicting that their technology, called IDSL technology, is going to be the big winner over the major telephone company.
And
in there.
Guess where the information for that technology came from? Came from the Hall of Records.
Well, I don't know. I'm just taking a shot in the dark. Maybe Richard Hoagland wants to do some looking into Tut systems and see if it has anything to do with this.
All right.
Or the internet and the whole. The thing is just too crazy for me. But I really.
No, well, all right. That is not, though, thank you, what Richard has to offer. What Richard has to offer on Egypt is scary. Really scary. Scary because I'm going to Egypt. And I bet after we do that show, if we do it, I'm not going to be able to go to Giza. I know it. I just know it. I will not be welcome. Nor will Richard, not that he has plans to go, as far as I know, in Egypt. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you?
In Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, Kern country.
That's it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I've got a question for you. We ordered that remote viewing from Ed Dames.
Yes.
And this was back in February. And I can't get a hold of these people at all. And I was wondering if you could help me.
Their website is down, but will be back up on Monday.
Okay. Do you have an 800 number for them also?
No, I don't.
Okay, so just keep trying back on Monday then.
Monday their website will be up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's about it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hello, Art. So I want to talk about your second UFO sighting.
All right. Where are you?
I'm in Minnesota.
Minnesota. All right.
You said it was round and shiny.
Yep. A disc.
A disc. Completely round.
Completely round.
Think it would have been the planet Venus?
No, not a chance.
No?
No, this was 11:40 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And the planet Venus rarely takes off south. At a speed that I could estimate to be in the tens of thousands of miles per hour.
Hmm.
I've never seen Venus do that, have you?
No, I know that sometimes when it's bright, really bright, it'll shine even in the daytime.
Yes, it can. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't do what I just described. It doesn't follow an airplane, a military jet, and then stop dead, and then take off south and up?
Well, I've heard the airports explain some sightings as the planet Venus.
Uh-huh. This was not Venus.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, Art.
Thank you. See you later. As a matter of fact, here, let me read you this. Hello, Art. Perhaps we saw the same object on Memorial Day that you did. My husband and I stopped in Mesquite on our way back from a camping trip. There was a hot rod show, and we stopped there. A group of people were pointing skyward, so we looked. We saw two contrails, the same ones you described. Then we spotted the white glowing round orb. It seemed to be very high, higher even than the airliner. It was not an airliner, by the way, I could resolve it was a military jet. It remained stationary for the time we watched, 2 or 3 minutes. Then we continued on to Las Vegas. That was the night I was startled to hear you describe what you and your wife had seen. The time we saw it was after lunch, 2 p.m. perhaps, but I don't look at my watch much on holidays. Now it's a little scary to look up at the sky, half expecting to see it again. Half in fear of it. But we will keep looking. Thanks for your show and all your varied guests. Fran. It appeared, P.S., she says, to be have been directly above us in Mesquite. So that sounds like she saw exactly what we saw. A first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, it's Phil from Auburn Hills, Michigan. How
yes,
you doing?
Sir. I'm fine.
I got a couple questions for you.
You're a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
My first question is, did Major Dame skip town with our money or what?
No, he did not. I talked to Major Dames yesterday.
Oh, he said the tapes were going to come out May 1st, and then he came back and said June 1st, and it's been a while.
Yeah, they got delayed, but they're coming.
Okay, and another question. When are you going to be on a real channel in Michigan? We can't hear you anymore.
Well, we're, of course, on WCHR in near Detroit.
Yeah.
And they're going to be increasing power radically shortly. And then we're in discussions, which I can't talk about, with another big station up there, so.
Well, that'll be good. We're getting you out of Chicago and Rochester, New York, and all kinds of places.
Yeah, they're in you.
Really fuzzy, so.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Ward.
Hi.
How are you, my good man?
Just fine.
This is Dennis checking in from the low desert of Yuma, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Last night, we had a Minuteman II missile.
That's right. Launched from Vandenberg.
Just
about everybody saw it.
And exploded over the city of Yuma.
Well, it didn't explode, actually.
Well, we were...
What you saw was the contrail. Of course, it was launched around 8-something at night.
Yes.
And so the sun did a job on the contrail.
Well,
and it was a curly Q. It was really incredible.
It was. We saw the entire spectacle. And
that it was, my friend. But it was not. It did not, as far as I know, explode. It did what it was supposed to do. On the way, it simply gave us all, as part of the West, quite a show. But it was indeed a launch from Vandenberg.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
The centerpiece of discussion this morning is the Air Force's news conference held at about noon yesterday. A Pentagon backdrop, a weak-kneed colonel who came out, his own admission, his knees were shaking, Colonel John Haynes. And he proceeded to try to, he held up this book saying, Roswell, case closed. Then they showed film from the 1950s and up to 1960, folks, trying to explain away an incident in 1947. Well, the American press, out front in large numbers, ready as they were, to buy this whole story, we're forced to ask questions like, excuse me, Colonel, how can you account for the six-year difference between 1947 and the film you're showing us of the balloons and the crash dummies? And this poor colonel had to sit up there and say, well, it's time compression. Time compression. People forget dates and times and things like that. It was arguably the worst yet. It was a joke. It was funny. And, I mean, it was actually a riot. But it was sad at the same time. I felt sad for this colonel, who was no doubt sent out there from some cigar-chomping general, who said, son, you've had a good military career. Now we're going to send you out there to do your big job. It's one you've been trained for all your life, son. Go out and tell the press that here's what happened. Then, you know, he's got to say, well, what about the 6 years, General? How am I going to explain that?
Well, son, you talk about time compression. Haven't you ever heard of time compression? You know, it's when times, dates, things like that get confused.
But, General, 6 years?
Well, there's a lot of compression here, son.
Couple of items. The Arizona Republic has apologized for the Benson cartoon. The newspaper apologized. Benson didn't. He said something about, well, he regrets if there was any pain inflicted on the mother of the dead child. That's as far as he would go. Newspaper, however, apologized. Said they should have reviewed it more carefully before going to publication with it. Here's another newspaper article. This one from the Las Vegas Review Journal. Entitled, Millennium Sparks Time Capsule Frenzy. It's a Dateline Atlanta by the AP. As the millennium approaches, people everywhere are burying time capsules like squirrels trying to preserve snapshots of the 20th century for future generations. Beanie Babies. A pair of Air Jordans. A newspaper headline on the Oklahoma City bombing trial. Seal them in a metal container, and you have instant archaeology. That is, if future historians, eager for a peek at the past, can even find the estimated, get this, folks, 10,000 time capsules out there somewhere, filled with everything from Elvis memorabilia to buns of steel workout videos. We should create a time capsule. And one of the things in it, I think, should be this CNN, the CNN coverage of the Air Force's press conference yesterday. That should definitely go in a press time capsule. Press capsule. Oh, boy. Did you see the dummies? Somebody else sent me a really funny fax about the dummies sticking to the UFO and causing it to crash. I'll have to dig that one out for you. So anyway, it's open lines, folks. Anything you want to talk about. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is John from California.
Yes.
I'm a new listener to you. I had a theory on the ulterior motive of the Air Force for what they brought out today.
Well, I think their ulterior motive was to have us believe that Roswell was real.
I don't.
Okay.
They wouldn't give up that easily.
Well, what do you think?
I believe that there's two conclusions you can come to. The government is not that dumb to make this big of a mistake. I don't believe they are, because they've kept so many good secrets. And what doesn't make sense to me is we found out about the U-2 spy plane and the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber about approximately 20 years after they were developed, approximately, correct?
They keep secrets all the time. I don't know what that colonel was talking about.
Right, right, right.
From the atom, the development of the atom bomb,
right,
to
right.
The feeding of plutonium to pregnant women and children, all the rest of it, they've kept all kinds of secrets. So, they're crazy.
Right. I believe those planes were more relevant than a dummy and a hot air balloon or whatever, a weather balloon, right?
Yeah.
I believe they're more relevant. So I know something is not right about that. I believe that they are trying to cover up the truth.
Which and is?
I believe the truth is it was a crashed UFO.
Well, that's what I just said, sir. In other words, their press conference was so without redeeming value and was such an obvious farce that you can only conclude that they want us to believe, as Richard said, and as I believe, that Roswell was real. What other conclusions could you possibly come to after seeing this ridiculous display? I mean, they would have been much better off to have kept their mouths shut. But instead, they've had the exact opposite effect they wanted to have. Poor Colonel Haynes. I keep imagining the meeting where Colonel Haynes was to be sent out to the press and eaten alive. I mean, how would you like to be the guy going out to try to explain to the press that here is the final case closed Roswell report with video snapshots of something that occurred at the very earliest in 1952, not 1947, but 1952. Well, Colonel, how do you account for the difference? Time compression, he said. People forget dates and stuff, he said. I mean, they can't be serious. But they were. I mean, all this was done with the backdrop of the Pentagon seal and everything. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing? This is Eric from San Francisco.
Hello there. Speak up good and loud for us.
Yes, Art. What I can't understand is why in the heck don't they just produce the actual documents and videos related to that night of the Roswell crash? I mean, they showed hundreds of minutes of footage from other balloon tests.
Well, the way I recall it, when Representative Schiff requested the records from 1947, they were all lost or destroyed.
Okay, so if that's the case, then I mean, aren't these guys claiming that they actually have those records and they've reviewed them and decided that there's nothing there? I mean, Colonel Richard Weaver, the guy that did the first report, claims that he had permission from the Secretary of the Air Force to go and read all the documents. He had basically open permission to go and read anything he could get his hands on.
Yes, sir, but I repeat, most of the documents that were relevant to 1947 are missing.
Right, but the point I'm trying to make is if they're missing, how could they possibly say that the case is closed when they can't even produce the documents of the case?
Well, of course they can say anything they want.
I know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm so frustrated. I tell you the truth, yesterday I thought there was no way they could be covering anything up. And then this press conference comes up, and I read about it on the Internet, and I just can't believe they're saying this.
Well,
I'm a skeptic, and now I'm almost absolutely convinced that something happened.
I know. That's what they intended to occur, to create more people who believe that something occurred because their explanation was so asinine.
I don't know. I graduated from MIT. I have a master's degree in nuclear engineering. I thought for sure if, all these rumors were just, people just going on about, and now I swear to God, I'm convinced that something's going on.
Well, you are proof then of my theory about why they held the news conference. That's absolute proof right there. See, there's somebody who doubted. But after the news conference, he now believes. And so you've got to imagine, folks, those of you who have been following this for a long time, that what they did was so lame, that it was actually intended to create more believers. Now, why would they want to create more believers? Let's think about that. Why would they want to create more believers? Well, maybe because something really is about to happen. Huh, it just might be. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Where?
No longer in Tennessee. I'm in, WMSD country, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah, home of the funky water.
That's
haven't
right.
Haven't tangled with the stuff yet, but honestly, I've only been to the coast maybe twice in the 3 weeks I've been here. I'm kind of afraid to go near the water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ah, man, I really hate I missed that CNN press conference today. From what
I know. I am seeking. Hear me, Atlanta.
Yes, please, Atlanta.
I want permission from Atlanta, CNN, to replay the news conference. And people need to understand, you can't just do it. I mean, you've got to have permission to rebroadcast anything. They've got the copyright on that. And so I am officially asking CNN to fax me and give me permission or to talk to me.
I second that emotion.
All right, my fax number, hey, CNN, are you listening? My fax number is area code 702-727-8499, and I will call then when I get the fax and confirm that, in fact, they have sent it.
I hope they do send it.
Also, I do, too.
I'm one of those many, many minions who called the Arizona Republic.
Yes.
I did call them and voice my opinion on the...
Well, it worked.
Yes, it did, and I was so glad to hear that at least the paper apologized, but I think that Benson himself really should be the one to do it. But at least, you know, something happened.
Yes. I mean, the newspaper, and I'm sure it did not please Benson... For his home newspaper to issue an apology for something he did. So I thought it was appropriate.
I did, too, and I'm glad they did that. And I said my heart has really gone out to the families of the baby and the fireman.
Yes.
They're both using that so-called cartoon. But, you know, that just had to hurt them.
It did.
Yeah, so Lee, I'm glad that, you know, all these phone calls did get some kind of response out of them.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
We may be constructing a time capsule here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting toward the end of the millennium, and so we need a time capsule.
Yeah,
What would you think we could put in our time capsule that would be representative of these last few years, say?
Oh, gosh. There's so many things. I heard you talking about that, and I really hadn't thought about what would be great to put in there.
Something that is really 90s, you know?
Really 90s?
Really 90s, yeah. I mean, the time we're in now.
Well, like you said, that press conference, from what you said, would have been a great one. Gee, I really haven't had time to really think about it, so I really can't answer that, I'm afraid.
All right, well, I'll give you... That's one thing we have is time.
Yeah, well, I'll have to think about it and give you a call some other night if I can come up with something really great to put in there.
All right, thank you. Maybe we'll make one. Our own relevant time capsule. A lot of people have them out there, but maybe with a little pull, you know, we can get it put in a corner of a building somewhere or buried in cement someplace. But you got to come up with the right things, things that represent the latter part of this century that, you know, would be found, I don't know, 10,000 years from now and carefully excavated. And then, you know, you've got the archaeologists with little brushes, and they would brush it off very carefully and then pop the top and look inside. What would we put in our time capsule? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello there, my friend Art.
How are you?
Well, I can complain. Of course, screaming and kicking, this world will be awakening to a new dawn. That the visitors have arrived, and no Air Force statement can stop that.
Did you see the news conference, Fritz?
Well, I saw bits and pieces, and but I heard the soundtrack and all that over the day's period.
Yeah, you had to hear the whole thing, Fritz.
I mean, it's like Hitler's Third Reich. The agenda was then a lie long enough, and people will start believing it. But this case backfired, and I agree that people should go really after that and probe the knowledge that the visitors are here.
Well, Fritz, this was a comedy.
Of course.
I mean, it was so bad it was a comedy.
I mean, you really explained it nicely in your opening statement how ridiculous and how it sounded and how they put this colonel up there, and I saw him 20 minutes ago again.
Yeah.
And it's just a joke worldwide. They will get more attention than they really realized.
Well, I think there's a reason they did it, Fritz. It couldn't truly be that bad. They're not really that dumb. I was in there before, so they're not that dumb.
And I could, all I want to say is to the closing here, the display of a phoenix, I have a feeling, will repeat over many cities, and you can take that to the bank.
Uh-huh. Well, to the bank I shall take it. Fritz says the display over Phoenix is only the beginning. That may well be true. I believe, too, there will be more and more and more. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name's Rick. I'm a first-time caller here, Art.
Where are you, Rick?
I'm in San Diego.
All right, Go Country. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, sure will. Sorry.
That's all right. So, typical mistake. Even a many-time caller.
And,
yes.
First off, I just want to comment on Roswell.
Yes.
You know, anybody with any common sense knows that that is a cover-up.
Not a very good one, Rick.
No, not at all. Not at all. They just left too many doors wide open there.
Rick, you could drive a space shuttle through.
That's true.
Through the hole.
That's true. Well, but that just shows what our government thinks of us. You know, not very much. And also, Art, I missed a segment of your program. And that was about Grant. I don't know if Mr. Hoagland was on the air with that.
Grant?
You're right. Earlier.
Oh, you mean about Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry you missed it.
Yeah, and could you kind of review that maybe?
Well, Richard will be on again soon in the next few days. And he's doing a lot of very deep research right now with regard to Phoenix.
Okay.
All right, so you'll be caught up.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You
and
bet.
Take your cat for me.
I do every break. Comet now has almost become a cat. Comet is nearly a cat. Comet is my wildcat. And let's see, how long have we had Comet now? We've had Comet 9, 10 months, 11 months, something like that. And he's almost a cat. He's still a wild child, there's no question about it, but he's almost a cat. I mean, every day, incrementally, in some little way, he becomes more domesticated and slightly less wild. And speaking of wild, I'm going to have a guest in the next day or so, a woman, Teresa, who lived with wolves. I mean, it really is a wild story. It's called the Woman, actually The Wolf, The Woman in the Wilderness. That's her book. She took a wolf back to the wilderness. It took months in the wilderness. It's really quite a story. And I knew better than to try to do it tonight. That would not have been a good idea at all. Because the Roswell News Conference is sweeping everything else out of the way as I knew it would. I'm Art Bell, and we'll break here at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997. Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 24th, 1997.
All right, folks, here we go. I really hate promoing something that's going to occur in my own show, but what the hell. In exactly 15 minutes, according to somebody who just faxed me, if you have access to it, C-SPAN 2, repeat, C-SPAN 2 at 12:50 a.m. Pacific Time, or in other words, about 15 minutes from right now in whatever time zone you're in, is going to air the entire UFO, Roswell, whatever you want to call it, news conference, and I don't want you to miss it. So please, if you have access to cable or satellite or whatever, and you have C-SPAN 2, I hope it's true. We'll check it out here to be sure it is. But C-SPAN 2, 15 minutes from now, is due to air the whole thing. Whatever you do, you don't want to miss it. 15 minutes from right now. So I hate telling anybody to shut off my own show, but I want you to do that. At least check it out, and we'll try and confirm the fact that it begins. We've got C-SPAN 2 here by satellite, so we'll check it out. Here's more reaction. It just keeps rolling in. Art, good evening. The announcement today was the most ridiculous piece of BS I've ever heard. At one point, in trying to explain what had happened at Roswell, even after admitting that he was unsure if they were using dummies in 1947, said the Roswell area responded with aircraft, da-da-da, and ambulances. If these were dummies, why in the hell did they need ambulances? Yes, 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 indeed. And also, somebody asked if I would please bring in my cat, Comet, and so they could see Comet. So I did. And what I did is, during this last break, about 3 minutes ago, I brought Comet into the studio and let a picture be snapped, and then I stopped the feed. So I'm going to leave that up there for about the next half hour. If you want to see what Comet looks like, there he is. I brought him in during a break. Go on up to my website right now, and you can see how Comet has grown. Boy, oh boy, has this cat grown. He's really in good shape. Anyway, I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC. So those two items, Comet's on the website right now on the studio cam, and it'll be fixed on that for about the next 30 minutes so you can see it before I go back to live shots. That's one. And two is, in now less than 15 minutes, C-SPAN 2 is due to air the entire news conference, if this is accurate. So, thank you whoever faxed this to me, and this is a rare instance where I will tell you, trust me on this, keep my show on in the background if you want to, or turn it off if you have to, but do not miss this press conference. Of all people, I want my audience, I really want my audience to be able to see this. You have to see it live to understand how ludicrous it really was. We're going to monitor C-SPAN 2 here at the house and alert you if they begin running it. Again, in about 9 minutes now, they're due to repeat this entire news conference. I hope that's true. C-SPAN 2, if you have that on your cable or satellite. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Tootie in Northern California.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
And happy birthday. And I just want to guess where Richard Hoagland is going to move to.
Okay.
Sedona.
Nope.
Arizona.
Wrong. Close, but no cigar.
Well, I don't know. I thought it lined up with Sedona on Mars or something. Anyway, also, and I have one question. What is a Magellan?
Oh, Magellan. I'm glad you asked about Magellan. I won't answer that right now. I'm going to let Richard do it because I know he's got some information on Magellan. So I'll refrain from giving you the answer. I would rather let Richard do that.
Okay, but that's not what the thing is on the ship that is a Magellan. Is it two different things?
That is a Magellan? Now I don't know what you mean.
Well, somebody said something earlier about being on a ship, and if they really wanted to know where they were, they would...
Oh, that Magellan.
Uh-huh. But Richard's Magellan is fine, too. I don't know.
Well, there's a... All right. The Magellan, now all of a sudden I understand what you're talking about. There's a Magellan 2000, which is a device that will tell you... There's about 37 satellites that are around the Earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Magellan is a little handheld device, and you turn it on, and when you do, it gives you a readout in degrees, minutes, and seconds of exactly where you are, whether you're in the middle of the jungle or in New York City or in Sedona, Arizona, or wherever,
right,
within a few feet of actually where you are on the Earth. It's a speedometer, odometer. It will tell you how fast you're going. It'll help you retrace your route. It's an amazing device. That's what the Magellan is.
Okay, but now I truly want to hear about Richard's Magellan, now that you brought it up.
It's not Richard's Magellan. There was a spacecraft named Magellan, but that would be for Richard to talk about, all right?
But let's have him do that when he comes back on the next time.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. I didn't quite get it at first. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello there.
Good morning. This is Floyd.
Hi, Floyd. Where are you?
I'm in Houston.
All right.
I saw that ridiculous display. And, you know, today I became, you know, just very, very concerned about something. I've been concerned about it for a while, but, you know, it looks like our government is becoming more and more, for lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word oppressive. And yet we are the great leaders of freedom. We go out and try to solve everybody else's problems, and they're lying to the American public. Where is all this going to end?
Well, it's hard to say. Where is it going to end? I don't know that it ever will with our present government.
Well, it looks like we are headed toward a one-world government, which scares the life out of me, the very thought of it. But we're sitting over here in what should be the world's greatest country, and they treat us like a bunch of fools.
Well, look, you were right about one thing. It is the world's greatest country, thank you, but they do treat us like children. And because we are lied to, because the people that we elect are a bunch of damn fools, does it not stop me from proclaiming and maintaining that this is the world's greatest country? It is, by a long shot, the world's greatest country. No matter how you may think they have eroded, and they have, we have more real freedom than any other country in the whole world. We have less oppression by taxation, horrible as it is. And look, when I look at my paycheck, I tell you I scream bloody murder, so it's not good. But it's the best. And I know because I've been around. Art, you read my mind about the UFO news conference. I think they're trying to destroy their credibility so that they can finally say, oh, all right, you caught us. And we're finally going to come clean. Be the fourth news conference, eh? They're preparing us by living down to our very cynical expectations. Living down instead of living large, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is Samantha Sanery. Oh, sorry. Samantha calling from Arizona.
Hi there, Samantha.
Hi. Your radio show is different on my radio than it is on your phone.
Well, no, it isn't. There's just a little bit of delay, dear.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
You know, we do that in case somebody says a bad word so I can push a button and save my career.
Yeah, like I almost said my last name, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you doing there?
Oh, just a minute.
Just a minute?
Hey,
yeah, hang up that phone. That with you people.
People hang up the phone. No, I'm calling because I want to know if you could ask Richard Hoagland if he has, well, I know he has to have heard of the Andreessen affair.
Yes, I interviewed Betty Andreessen.
You did?
Yeah, sure.
The correlations are phenomenal with the phoenix that she saw.
Yes.
I just got through reading the book, and it was, I had read it years ago, and when he started bringing up Phoenix, it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Ba-boom.
It was amazing, and how she says it on their uniforms, they actually have the Phoenix on the side of their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. So he's talked about it too, Richard?
I don't think we've ever discussed the Andreessen affair. But as I said, I've interviewed Betty Andreessen, so I know.
Yeah, I'd be curious about what he thinks.
Uh-huh.
Another thing, did you happen to see the V-shaped UFO that was in Nevada today?
No, I've heard reports of it all over the place.
It was on the news right after a mention of the Roswell.
Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, but I did not see it. Thank you very much. No, I didn't get to see it. Sad. Missed it. But there was a V-shaped large UFO over Nevada, and I would be interested in anybody who did see it. Or whether anybody got a, better yet, did anybody get a photograph of it? Well, listen, if C-SPAN 2 is due to run this thing, it ought to be starting in about 5 seconds. So I'll get confirmation. If you've got C-SPAN 2, and I hope this fax information is correct. If it isn't, we'll find out here shortly about whether or not they're actually going to run it. You don't want to miss this press conference. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. So it ought to almost be underway by now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Isn't it amazing how people who have nothing to say always get in, and the people who actually have something to contribute have to try for hours?
Well, and you hung up. Well, isn't it amazing that you're one of the ones who had nothing to contribute and spent hours endeavoring to get in to say that to hang up? Ridiculous. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is George in Bradenton, Florida.
Hi, George.
Hey, good to talk to you. You and I have something in common. We're both ham operators.
All right. Well, there are many hams. George, excuse me one moment. All right. I just have confirmation. Ramona came in and said, yes, indeed, C-SPAN 2 is now running that news conference. They have just begun to run the news conference. So if you have C-SPAN 2, go over there right away. Go ahead, George.
And how are you this morning?
Fine.
I'm just curious, what's a good frequency to have a skid with you sometime on ham radio?
Well, the way the bands have been lately, George, unless you've got a big antenna up for 75 or 40 meters, I would say we've got about 2 years to wait until the high bands open back up properly.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of activity on 20. During the day we get a lot of Europeans. I got a guy in New Guinea, 14265.
Mm-hmm.
Good signal.
Well, 20's all right. Trouble with 20 meters is it's so damn crowded. And I'm kind of hanging out for when 15 and 10 begin to open back up. That's ham talk about frequency. So one of these days, when things get better on the higher bands, you'll see me up there. I used to favor 10 meters a lot. And I'm waiting for it to open back up again. All right, so that news conference is now underway on C-SPAN 2. At the very least, you've got to get there and roll a tape. It is historic. Trust me, you'll want to keep it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. It's Juanita from North Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. I talked to you a little while ago, and you were mentioning that you had heard that some people were trying to get you off the radio up here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I called CFUN and talked to their program director,
uh-huh.
And he said he did call and talk to your people, and he asked me to please call you and announce on the air that it's not true as far as CFUN's concerned, to let you know that you're extremely popular up here. I'm sure they got a lot of phone calls, and they are now starting your show at 10 o'clock.
Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm. They ran a little blurb on their radio that due to the demand, they're starting you at 10. But
well,
you have nothing to worry
you.
About up
thank
here.
You, thank you, CFUN.
Yeah, well, I'm really...
There was a rumor... I got several emails, and you know, when I begin hearing from mm-hmm. several sources, then I pay attention that there was a certain Canadian talk host who's on during similar hours
mm-hmm.
and was making a protest, having people call stations saying that I should be taken off because of Canadian content laws or something or another, something like that.
Yeah, they were saying he wished he knew who started the rumor. Because if that was true, they couldn't have, like, Dr. Laura on and a couple other people they have on that are all from the States.
Have they been relaxing the Canadian content rule a little bit, or what's going on up there?
I don't necessarily know if they've been relaxing it, but I know they're going to get a lot of angry people because most Canadians watch everything American on TV. I can give you one example. You probably don't know about Country Music Television Station. They took that off up here and put a Canadian national country music station, and everybody complained, so they finally had to go back and put CNT back on. So I don't think you have anything to worry about at all.
Canadian country music, huh?
Yeah, more. I mean, there are some Canadian country singers that are singing, you know, out of Nashville, but they were doing more stuff that was absolutely lousy.
Are there Canadian cowboys?
Yeah, we have cowboys up here. Yeah, we do. And we had quite a jolt this morning. We had an earthquake up here.
Oh.
At 7:41, a 4.5.
Oh, that'll get your attention.
Yes, it felt like somebody rammed a car into my house and my windows were all rattling. And I've lived in California long enough to recognize them. It scared quite a few people.
Yeah, this earthquake was predicted by Mr. Berkland. I mean, right on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, listen, I want to thank you, and I want to thank CFUN particularly for beginning us at 10 o'clock and putting a squash to that rumor.
Well, I'm sure they'll be glad it got on the air. As I say, they probably got a lot of calls.
All right, folks, stop calling CFUN. They get the point.
I did not see that program you're talking about today on Roswell.
Yes.
But I think we'll eventually see it on Dick Clark's Duper program.
Well, as I say, it's running right now, right this minute.
I don't have CFUN. I don't know if we can get that up here, but...
Yeah, that's the one thing Canadians might not even care about is C-SPAN. Americans barely care about it, but I can understand it would really bore Canadians.
I don't know. I've never seen it, so I don't know what their programs would be like. But, no, I don't think it necessarily would. As I said, we watch mostly all, if we watch TV, it's mostly all American programs that
well, C-SPAN, as a rule, I mean, they do other things, but they generally cover Congress and the Senate.
Ah, I see.
So I wouldn't think
that... Probably we don't even want to listen to our I don't think we want to listen to yours either.
I don't blame you. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. So, listen, folks, that news conference is running right now on C-SPAN 2. It is nothing short of incredible. I mean, so you've got to see it. If you've got any access to C-SPAN 2, get over there right now. It's underway by about 7 minutes. But you'll still see the best part of it. And for those who want to see Comet, I snapped a picture about 30 minutes ago, and I'll leave it on for the next few minutes at least, up on the website, the live cam shots. And I'm letting this one repeat, because I took my wild child, Comet, in there and let it snap a picture. So if you want to see what Comet looks like now, after being fed properly for some number of months, go take a look. See, he's coming right along. Nor did he scratch me to death while endeavoring to take that photograph. That, too, is progress.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
Good morning, everybody. Hopefully a lot of you are actually not here, but on C-SPAN 2, watching the news conference. As a matter of fact, once I'm aware that it is over, I intend to open a special line for those of you who just saw the news conference, because I want to hear your opinion. We're beginning to get time capsule suggestions here. Number one, a stone wall in memory of Bill and Hillary. It'll last 10,000 years. Two, Dennis Rodman's head. All those chemicals in his hair might give him a half-life of 10,000 years. And Art Bell, one of the finest minds today. Your head might not last as long as Rodman's, but the memory will go on. And this, Art, you might want to put a copy of your book, The Quickening, in there. That way, it'll tell the future folks all they need to know about the 90s. It's true. By the way, I keep saying it, and I can't tell you how much longer it's going to go on, but not much. If you want a copy, a first edition copy of The Quickening, and it is only just beginning in distribution, by the way, there will never again be this opportunity. Maybe at Christmas or something. You know, every Christmas I sign a few copies. But other than that, we're coming down the home trail here, folks, on signed copies. So if you want an autographed copy of The Quickening, you call right now. 1-800-864-7991. 1-800-864-7991. I'm getting all kinds of reviews from everybody now who's read it, and they love it. And I understand that. You should. Here's another one. Your new book definitely needs to go in the time capsule. The people in the future will know what happened to our society. Drowned on a moral Titanic. From Michael at Listening to KBC. It really is a good book. It really is an important book, and somebody else said they enjoyed the little fictional beginnings to each chapter, which we did to simply illustrate where we thought what we were about to document would be going. So that's the way the book is laid out, as it takes on each aspect of what I call the quickening. Anyway, autograph copies are coming to an end, so you must not wait. 1-800-864-7991. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. I was in the Air Force about 3-4 years ago, and in relation to what you're talking about on the air.
Yes.
It's real hard to believe what they're saying on the Roswell, New Mexico conference.
Hard to believe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Impossible to believe.
Yeah. I had a top secret clearance when I was in the Air Force, and I was a security policeman. And I just saw a lot of weird stuff that took place in Europe and all kinds of stuff. I worked around the highest priority of weapons. And what the public doesn't know goes on, you know, and the Air Force doesn't tell them, is really amazing.
I know. But, I mean, this display today, did you see the news conference?
I'm currently watching it right now.
You're watching it now?
Yes.
Is the most amazing dance I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's just real hard to believe after all these years that they're coming up, you know, now with all the stuff you're doing on the air and talking about and just divulging all this information now at this time, after how many years, you know?
I know. Thank you. Here's another one for you. Art, we have listened to your show for quite some time and thoroughly enjoy your program. I can't visualize or even comprehend how the Air Force could even think that the American public, that's us, Art, could possibly be so stupid as to believe that a batch of, for a better lack of what to call it, crap, and I did study to find the word to properly describe this, and the saddest thing of all is that the American public put our trust for defense in this department. What do you really think? Thanks for taking your busy time out to read our note, Wayne and Liz in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, what I really think, Wayne and Liz, is that it was so bad, so lame, so pathetic, that it was actually designed to make us believe that Roswell did occur. I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion. How can they possibly give us film from 7 years to 10 years after the incident and, using the colonel's words, spin it together to be the explanation for what occurred in 1947. It is an insult. And yet, you know what? I bet a lot of the people swallow it, the American people. I bet they do. Anyway, I will shortly open a line for those who have seen the full news conference. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I'm Matt from Canada. It doesn't have anything to do with the Roswell thing, but I have a song about cloning.
You have a song about cloning?
Yeah, that I wrote myself.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll sing it for you now.
No, don't do that.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No singing.
No singing.
I mean, are you a good singer?
I don't know. Half decent.
Well, I'm willing to listen to a little bit.
How about I just read it for you?
Well, no. I mean, if you're going to sing it, you've got to sing.
Okay, it goes, born in a test tube, conceived by the government. Now I'm in the spy game, and my mind it went. Clone from the past, straining to see. I look to the future, where I can be free.
Okay. What kind of work do you do?
What kind of work?
Yeah.
So I'm unemployed.
You're unemployed? Go and do manual labor.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
They're pretty good. I don't know. They're just kind of, I have to work on my singing voice.
Yeah.
Performing voice.
Work on it. It sounds like you said, now you made a disclaimer in the beginning of the call, and you said you weren't from Canada?
Yeah, I am from Canada. Yeah.
You are from Canada?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Sault Ste. Marie, up above Michigan there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, and, I would have said keep your day job, but you don't have one. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Top of the morning.
Well, you didn't say, well, there she is.
There she is.
Thank you. Hey, you know, I would put a pack of cigarettes in the time capsule so that the people of the future know why we all croaked, you know, and now they're illegal.
They're not illegal, but they're well on the
really
they're well on the way.
So how come when you watch CNN, it's called monitoring, but when I watch TV, it's called couch potatoing?
Well, because I'm sitting here doing my program with the volume down, monitoring.
That's what I do. I watch with the volume down. I listen to your show. I monitor two at once.
Okay, well, it's just a word, dear.
Well, I'm going to monitor from now on.
All right.
If you don't mind. Hey, so if you could put one of your interviews in the time capsule, just one.
Oh, God, what a good question.
What would it be? And I've been listening since about Al Bielek, maybe earlier. I guess you can.
Well, you know, it's like an author, for example. They always like their latest book best. I think that I probably would put the Terrence McKenna interview in.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe.
No, I
Malachi.
Don't know.
Maybe,
no, wait, think about it.
Maybe Malachi.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't know. It's really hard. I've done a lot of really good interviews.
I know. Some really killer interviews.
Maybe even Willie Nelson. I don't know.
Oh, that was a good one. You know, I had never heard the sewn up in a bed sheet story. And I'm sitting here thinking, no, if I ever get an old man that does that to me again, I am going to sew him up.
Yeah,
so
somehow I can picture that.
You know what? I
what?
Would say good morning to Mr. Good Positive Wednesday or else he'll be mad at me.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Good Positive Wednesday.
Whoever that is and wherever you
Wouldn't
are.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah. Probably a new boyfriend.
I doubt it. Although, I always happen to pick the good ones that are always married.
Really?
Yeah, I just have this note for a married man. I know all the good ones are taken already.
Uh-huh. So
I've
you
been left with the crumbs.
So you really date married men, huh?
Absolutely not.
Well, then what do you mean? You're just attracted to them?
Yes.
I see. And they're attracted to you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that part. But, you know, the most attractive part about a married man is the way that he loves his wife.
Huh.
Think about it.
I
Male,
am.
Trustworthy.
Uh-huh.
Unswerving.
Uh-huh. But then you would tempt him from that.
Nope.
But that's what you're attracted to.
That's right. And if they stopped doing that, then they'd be a big fat liar, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't like them.
They'd be like our president.
That's right. Speaking of which, he owes me an apology.
Really? You and Paula?
Yes. Can you believe that? Two women in one century. That's what I
Well, you're not real high up in the Arkansas State governments.
An apology list? Oh, my God.
Listen, this is going downhill. I got to go.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Oh, boy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art. First of all, let me state that I must remain anonymous.
That's all right. I have a lot of anonymous people.
Second of all, I'll answer your next question by saying that I've thought about it for several years. Email, snail mail, fax would be... The only thing I could come up with would be a neutral phone.
What are you talking about?
I have information for you, but...
Secret information. Critical information. Information that might even get me killed. Right?
Not you, but maybe me. I'm nervous for being on the radio, but I'm scared for what I've decided to do.
All right.
Is there a way...
What does it concern?
It's the smoking gun that everybody's been looking for, but...
With regard to... UFOs?
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
Yes. Is there a way for a minute that you could play a commercial or an ad and I could speak to you off the air?
Yeah. There's a way. If it's really that hot. Now, you're not blowing smoke here, are you?
No, sir, and this will be the only time that I will ever do this.
All right. Then stay put for a minute. Hold on. I'll come to you in a second. Stand by. That wasn't worth it at all. I went to the phone line, and he started telling me this story about a crash, a UFO crash, prior to World War II. And I said, well, can you get me the information? And he said, no. No, I'm scared. I can't do it. I can't give you the information. No documentation. No information. Well, so then what am I supposed to do with it? I mean, come on, folks. Sheesh. That's a big waste of time. I've got to talk to you off the air, Art. Well, you could have said all that on the air. You're not sending me anything. You talked about, you said fax, snail mail, email, whatever. A pretty good privacy, whatever way. You're not willing to send me anything, any documentation, but you're going to weave a tale while I play a commercial? Give me a break. Back to the phones, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jim from Chicago.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. I'm looking for Art Bell.
That's me.
Hi, Art. I'm just curious. I saw the C-SPAN the replay of the Roswell. Yeah, that was really great, huh? I just want to know, as I mentioned, there was 2,500 balloon tests run at a time. I'm surprised there wasn't a ton more of these sightings.
Well, that's a good point. It's a very good point. I mean, from 1952 or 3, whatever it was, that they really got going with this. There should have been all kinds of sightings. And one more thing. Nobody ever saw, that I know of, one of their dummies coming down in a parachute.
That's right.
And somehow you wouldn't think of aliens as parachuting in anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had it all messed up. It was so bad that I really did feel sorry for the colonel, because I feel he was sent out there against all his better instincts to sell the unsellable.
Yeah, well, his knees were shaking apparently, so.
Yeah, well, can you blame him?
I can tell you something, yeah. That's all I wanted to tell you, Art, and I really love your show, and first time caller, by the way.
Thank you. I would like to interview that colonel. I'm sure the Air Force is not going to allow him to be interviewed, but he would be fun to interview, wouldn't he? Now, I will put David Oates to work on that news conference. We'll definitely do that. That'll be a fun time, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Camo.
Well, Camo, turn your radio off.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
that's right.
Yes.
Sorry, I was in my car.
I see. Well, turn it off anyway.
It's off.
All right.
So, there were some letters that was sent on your internet that said messages from Camo. A message from Camo. Did you ever receive any of those?
Don't know what you're talking about. Nope.
Okay. You'll have to read those messages that are on there to understand what I was going to tell you about what's happening up here in Alaska.
Okay, what's happening?
Well, there's some malicious stuff that was going on up here.
Malicious stuff?
That's right. And I have the victims here, not with me right now, because one of them went to Anchorage. But I can have them here tomorrow to talk to you on another line or something, you know, so that they can give you more information about what actually happened up here.
Well, give me some idea.
Some idea.
What happened, yeah.
Well, there was some guys that went to their trailer, and they tried to use gas cans and stuff like that in the middle of the night, and they tried to run them off of their property that they owned. And,
you're not making any sense. They tried to use gas cans for what?
Well, they wanted to burn them out. But one of them had a .22 pistol. One of the women had a .22 pistol and scattered them, okay?
That would do it.
And then one of them came in, when she ran out of bullets, one of them came in and just beat the heck out of her. Okay.
Police get involved?
They refused to do anything.
Why would that? When there's shots fired, the police always get involved.
Well, not here. Maybe somewhere else.
What part of what part of Alaska are you in?
Eek.
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm talking on a cell phone. They could be listening to it on something. I'd rather not give that information right now.
I see.
But hardline tomorrow on a hard line.
All right, all right. All right, good enough. All right, we'll look forward to that then. There are areas of Alaska, folks, where I would say the law is pretty much the behavior of the people involved. In other words, there's very little law enforcement in a lot of the outer areas of Alaska. Once you get away from Anchorage or Fairbanks and you get out into the real Alaska, there's very little law. And so what he was just telling you may not be bull at all. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk really briefly. This might even be old news for you. You know the Chupacabra story?
Yes, would you turn your radio off, please?
Yeah, just a sec. Turn that off for me, please. Thank you. Well, there's a large rodent, you know, in South America. I think it's called the a name very similar to Chupacabra. It's called a capybara. It's about 4 foot long, 2 foot high, weighs over 100 pounds. What's interesting about it is it eats vegetables, but its teeth are really strong, and they say it can chew right through corrugated iron.
Really?
And I just thought the names were so close, you know, that there might be a possibility of that being that.
Huh. Well,
because one's capybara and the other's chupacabra.
Uh-huh. I've got
you. They're pretty close, you know. And but there was one other thing, and I just heard it on your show tonight, was concerning a missile launch or something.
Yeah.
That was the first I heard about that. What was that, a Minuteman launch or something?
Yeah, I think it was a Minuteman, actually, from Vandenberg. Mm-hmm.
Oh, was there any reason for that, or?
Well, they launch them all the time, sir, you know.
Just to make sure they're still working or something?
Well, to put satellites in orbit, that's
all. Oh, I see.
Sometimes all just downrange tests, you know.
All right,
thank you very much. I hope you got to see that news conference at the bottom of the hour. I am going to open a line for those who have seen it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
Seasons don't feel the rigor, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 24th, 1997.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open a line, maybe a couple of them, for those of you who have just seen the news conference. And by the way, for those of you who missed it, from Brett in Austin, Texas, one of the disillusioned masses, he calls himself, Art, just wanted to let you know, the press conference is going to be on regular old C-SPAN at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, too, so those of us with lame cable companies can get to see it. That's 6:35 a.m. Eastern, or 9:35 here in the West. Adjust for your own time zone on C-SPAN. Here's somebody who just saw it. Hey, Art, you're right. Right about the Air Force interview. It looks like they're trying to improve upon the big lie strategy. Now we have the dumb lie. That's Jeff in Houston. Thank you, Jeff. You're exactly right. And here's another one. I just finished watching the rebroadcast of the Air Force Roswell press conference on C-SPAN 2 at 1 a.m. Pacific. The stumbling, bumbling answers proffered by the military spokesman was a shameful display of the continuing government policy of cover-up and misdirection at any cost, regardless of how ridiculous it may come across. One thing which I can't figure out is, why would Mac Brazel, the rancher on whose land the craft landed, have needed to inform the government that a craft had landed or crashed at all? If it was merely a test craft, wouldn't the military have been monitoring the flight of the craft and known where the craft had crashed? Plus, why would the military surround and cordon off the ranch for a mere test craft? It does not compute. Nick in San Diego. All right, I am now going to... You know, I've got to presume that at noontime a lot of you did not get to see it. But the C-SPAN 2 coverage now should have given you a lot of you an opportunity to have seen it. So, let me open my first-time caller line for those of you who just got to see it. Because I would like your reaction.
Now we take you back to the night of June 24th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air, huh?
Hey, Art, how's it going?
Okay.
I just saw it.
Did you?
Yeah.
And?
And I think that it's just a big total lie. You're totally 100% correct. I have a question, though. Do you know if the David Oates guy, is that his name? Is he going to do any reverse speech on this guy?
We will set him to work on it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You have to do that.
That'll be fun.
And another question. A couple years ago, you had a guy on who was an author of a book, and he talked about people inside the planet, or lived inside the planet or something?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Who was that?
There were several people who have done shows on underground bases. Harley Bird comes to mind. Harley Bird claims to be a relative of Admiral Bird. Kind of a strange cat. Then there was there were a couple of other people who did underground bases and tunnels. So I'm not exactly sure who you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a couple of years ago. My friend wanted me to ask.
Uh-huh.
But there was something else, but I forgot to do it, so I forgot what it was about. So.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Right, thank you. See you later. And glad you got to see that news conference. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My name's Shane. I'm in just north of San Francisco.
Hi, Shane.
Actually, I've been on your line, and I just heard your announcement about I don't own a TV.
You don't own a TV. What the hell kind of American are you?
I use the radio. It's a lot less invasive on my gray matter. But I was calling, and I was specifically calling about the Admiral Byrd's diaries.
Yes.
Something that had occurred to me. I've heard the last few weeks I started listening to you since I moved to the Bay Area.
Yes.
I had gotten Admiral Byrd's, a copy of Admiral Byrd's diaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's still possible to get it from some book company. You can order it.
Yes.
And when everything was going on with John Hoke, and about Phoenix, about the lights and the V-ships.
Right.
there's a lot of different correlations there between the stuff that Admiral Byrd talks about in his diaries.
Well, I'd like to read them.
It's a really sketchy, short little book that's like actually photocopies of handwritten pages.
Right.
Which leads me to doubt its authenticity. But it leads, are you familiar also with the IM activities at the beginning of the century?
IM?
Yeah, the St. Germain Press.
No.
Began up around Shasta in Northern California.
No, I'm not, no.
Oh, okay. It might be something, you just might want to check it out.
All right.
Because the same thing occurred, with the man who started the activities. It was sort of, it would be an offshoot, like a cult or a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he says that there are underground cities, in different parts of the world, which have people in them, who are much more highly advanced than we are, like on the evolutionary scale.
Then why are they down there?
Because they stay here consciously, on purpose, to help humanity evolving. But the thing is, it has a lot of different links with the stuff that Admiral Byrd talked about, because in the descriptions of the diaries of his, mm-hmm. It sounds like the same type of thing, where it's sort of like an intergalactic community like you would see on Star Trek.
I can't think of any group of people who would knowingly, willingly live underground and think of them as really smart. I mean, that's got to be a pretty dismal existence. Wasn't there a science fiction book about two groups of people? Remember that? One group that lived underground, and they served the people who lived above ground. And they had all the machines and factories underground. And they made things for the people who lived above ground, who lived the idyllic life, walking around with flowers in their hair and calling each other brother and sister. And they never had to worry or work because all the food and clothing and shelter was provided by those who worked underground. Only problem was, every now and then, the people who worked underground would come up out of the manholes and grab one of the idiots walking around above ground and take them below ground and eat them. I can't remember what movie that was, but it was awful. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How you doing, bud?
Okay.
This is super. I've been listening to the show for a long time, and I want to say hi to all my friends here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Art, I watched the C-SPAN 2 program just a little while ago.
Yes, sir.
And it sure did look like that guy was trying to do a song and dance. I tell you, it was something else.
Yeah, Roswell, case closed, ha ha.
Exactly. When they said case closed, it was just...
Well, the part that got me was where he talked about the missing 6 years, the 6 years difference between the film he had and 1947. And he said, well, I can't account for that. Time compression, he said.
What exactly is time compression? Is that supposed to be something that everybody
knows?
I'm
not sure. I think it's, as I said earlier in the show, I figure some general told him to say that. You know, I mean, surely the colonel had to ask, General, have I really got to go out there and have I really got to tell him that all of this 7 years, 10 years later, accounts for what occurred in 1947? General, they're not going to believe me. They're going to ask about all this time. What do I say?
Well, son, you tell them about time compression. You know, people forgetting about dates and times and things like that.
Well, Art, it's really been nice talking to you, and I love your show, and just keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Make them believe, son. It's your job as a patriotic American and an officer and a gentleman in the Air Force. Make them believe. You're going places, son. Get out there and do your job.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. I think this Phoenix incident was a stage government incident. Last night when you had that replay of the guy from CSETI, he mentioned something about how the government was trying to stage like a hostile alien invasion.
Yes.
And you know the way they were situated, it just reminded me very much of Independence Day. And I think alien autopsy, which I think was phony, and I think they're trying to condition us to believe that there is a a hostile alien invasion imminent.
Just one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is. I mean, think about it. Maybe there is. Maybe that's what they know is coming.
Yeah, well, then why don't they just say it? Why do they have to do and be so cute about it? I mean, if...
Where are you?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Oh, that's perfect. If you were to wake up in the morning, you know, like in ID4, mm-hmm. and go outside and look up and hear covering the entire skyline of Los Angeles, probably up through Hollywood, was this giant ship, what do you think would happen in L.A.?
I don't know. Just another thing. I tell you.
Just another day in L.A., huh?
Yeah, just another disaster.
All right, thank you very much for the call. You might have a point there. The people in L.A. are like people, kind of like people in New York, so jaded that, wow, look at that. Must be MGM. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Morning, Art.
Good morning.
Rand from Henderson.
Yes, sir.
Did you know they were opening an Old Navy store in Las Vegas?
Cool. No, I didn't.
Just called their weekly message, and they said new store grand opening on the
28th. Uh-huh.
No.
It's a tetrahedral kind of day, I'm sure.
I think so. Anyway, I was talking to Barbie Taylor. You remember her?
Yes, Dr. Barbie Taylor.
Right, and she had worked with Stephen Greer and gone down there to Mexico and all that. And
yes.
She said this thing that in Phoenix was they're moving north.
That's right.
She got, and she said Las Vegas is next. So when we got this report yesterday about Nevada, that doesn't surprise me now.
Did you see anything?
No, I didn't. No, I was listening to you last night, too.
All right. Well, I wish somebody had managed to get through. The problem is, of course, that getting through at any given time is very difficult. And I could have a special line here for ongoing reports. But the problem is, like every other line, it would be jammed up, and so it would be useless. I wish I had some kind of line for immediate reports. But that's, we have Peter Davenport, where were you yesterday? You should have been telling us about this Las Vegas thing. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Time Machine, I think it was Rod Steiger, where they used to come up from underground and grab the people and pull them down to heaven for lunch.
Yeah.
And then there was a siren sound, like every once in a while, when they went into a fruiting frenzy, they'd sound a siren and the door would open.
That's right.
Remember that?
Right. Yes.
And they dragged the Time Machine in. Behind this door, which caused him to go down through the tunnels and find his way back to find the Time Machine.
Yeah, every now and then they'd grab one of the idyllic people above and they'd be gone. Food.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a price to pay for paradise, right?
Well, absolutely.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Have a good morning. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
A couple of them, actually.
Okay.
Me and my son are living here on the 26th of this month, and we're going to Hong Kong.
Okay.
And we will be back July 12th.
Maybe.
Oh, God, I hope so. That's my
point. So you're going to be there for the changeover?
Yes. We've been working on this for, me and my wife have been working on this for about 2 years now.
I would not choose this moment to go.
I'm a history nut, Art. I am a total history nut.
I see.
And me and my wife had already booked a passage, you know, for your Alaska tour, and she passed away March 10th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And now I'm trying to work out with your tour group to take my son, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we are going... leave here about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I fly from Las Vegas to San Francisco.
And then on over.
And then board a United Airlines flight and fly to Hong Kong. We're going to be there.
Well, you'll get to see it then, but you won't get to see much.
It's going to be interesting. Maybe a little scary.
You want scary? Go on up into Red China, and that's scary. That's where everything is already in place. My guess is that when the Chinese take over Hong Kong in the very beginning, in the first weeks, months, even years, there's not going to be a lot of difference. It's going to be rather slow. Creeping totalitarianism is what it's going to be. And it will change, and you will see people arrested. There will be demonstrations. But the people in Hong Kong are a strange group. They really don't get excited. In other words, most of them originally came from mainland China. And they remember the way it was. And they know what they cannot do. And what they cannot do is protest the inevitable. And if they do, I think the Chinese saying about the nail that sticks up is the one that gets pounded down. So you may not see a lot of protest. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you doing tonight? This is Richard in Houston.
Yes, sir. Hi.
I saw the video on C-SPAN 2.
Yes, sir.
And the expressions, I taped it and I watched it over without the sound.
Yes.
And the expressions on that man's face, you could just tell from his body language, it was so painful.
Yeah, I know.
And he kind of reminded me, he kind of looked like Red Skelton.
Really?
And I was waiting for him to start doing the old Gertrude and Heathcliff flew over and caused the planes to come down.
Yeah.
So
it was pretty pathetic. But you didn't hear it, huh?
Well, I heard it, but I taped it and played it back.
Okay. Well, I think it is an historic document, and you should keep it forever. I plan to. I immediately pulled the tab on mine, and I shall keep it forever. Every now and then, playing it to remind myself of the regard they have for our intelligence. It's either that, or it's that they actually want us to believe that what occurred at Roswell was real in 1947, because it was so lame. What they did was so lame yesterday that a body simply can't come to any other conclusion. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Art? This is Sean calling from the Great Northwest, Como KBI.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that this fallacy that the Air Force has put out will actually find out what they've done, them telling the truth at Roswell, I think, in about 250 years or so?
I'm sorry?
So the Air Force will tell the truth about Roswell in about 250 years from now.
Well, I'm not sure we'll ever hear the truth. I think that what will be apparent is what will be in our skies.
Well, this is true. Hey, I got two requests for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, every once in a while you put the statements out about the lady who put the cat in the bag and the old lady who stole the bag.
Yes.
And the gentleman with the truck and the dog and
that's
dynamite.
Right. Yes.
Is that possible? Could you put that on your website?
Website.
Have a look at that?
Yeah, sure. It's possible. Okay.
And then one more request.
Yes.
Is it possible, right around 10:30 tomorrow night, could you please explain what the Kingdom of Nine is?
It's where I live.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, because I've heard it a while ago, and you said you would explain it the next
time. Well, I live in, it's the place I live in, sir, the county I live in is Nye County. That's N-Y-E, Nye County.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Well, that would explain it then.
The Kingdom, indeed. All right, there you are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Cousteau died. I just heard a little while ago from French radio.
Cousteau?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Why not have David Oates try to do a reverse speech?
We're going to.
Hey, that's great. You know, the more interesting thing is, rather than are they covering up, the interesting thing is, why are they covering up?
Well, There's a million answers to that, from national security to social disruption as outlined in the Brookings report, to the poor scientific careers out there that would be ruined, to religious disruption. You take your pick.
Do you think maybe they don't even know, the current people in the Air Force don't even know because the records were so smothered?
Yeah, I think the colonel they sent out yesterday, for example, did not know.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
How far did you go at San Diego State?
I didn't go anywhere at all at San Diego State. What do you mean?
Well, I understood that you matriculated there for a while.
No.
Some guys at the Mud Shack were telling me that.
Well, they're wrong.
Okay.
I was in San Diego, but not at San Diego State, sir. Listen, show's over. I've got to go. You get the honors.
Good night, Mr. and Mrs. America.
And Mr. and Mrs. Canada and South American. From the high desert, good night.